The first thing he says is work out your salvation. Work it out. Now, notice that he didn't say work for your salvation. Now, let me fix this thing up. We don't have to work for our salvation. Some people will say, well, you ask them why they got saved. I got baptized when I was 12. That's working for your salvation. You ask them why you got saved. Well, I joined the church when I was X amount of age. That's working for your salvation. Somebody said, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I keep the golden rule. I do good to my neighbor. That's working for your salvation. Christ saved you. Christ died on the cross, and that's all you need.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of God is Working in You, So Work It Out, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God is Working in You, So You Can Work It Out, Part 1.
We're going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, as we continue with our series, come out with your hands in the air. And as we think about our messages that we've been talking about, and we think about the book of Philippians, several times in the book of Philippians, Paul admonishes us to rejoice, to have joy. And the message of Philippians is, whatever you're going through, you can still praise God. Whatever you're going through, you can still come out praising God with your hands in the air. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We want to speak to you on this subject this morning. I've got work to do. I've got work to do. Amen. We have just finished last week one of the most sublime, one of the most powerful passages in the Word of God. We looked at Christ from his humiliation to his exaltation. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How much more of a high could Paul have left us on? It's as if Paul jacked us up. It's as if he lifted us up to the heights to look at our Redeemer, to look at, as we talked about last week, the doctrine of exaltation, where we have a high priest who's making intercessions for us, where we have an example that if we will humble ourselves, that we will be exalted. Paul left us up in the heaven. And then he comes back in verse 12 and says, wherefore? Wherefore? It's almost like he pulled us in. It's almost like he got us shouting. It's almost like he got us standing on our feet clapping. And then he said, why are you up? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And while he has them up, while he lifts them up, the first thing he says is work out your salvation. Work it out. Now, notice that he didn't say work for your salvation. Now, let me fix this thing up. We don't have to work for our salvation. Some people will say, well, you ask them why they got saved. I got baptized when I was 12. That's working for your salvation. You ask them why you got saved. Well, I joined the church when I was X amount of age. That's working for your salvation. Somebody said, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I keep the golden rule. I do good to my neighbor. That's working for your salvation. Christ saved you. Christ died on the cross, and that's all you need. Somebody put it like this, J-E-S-U-S. Jesus exactly seats us sinners. Somebody else put it like this, G-R-A-C-E, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. You don't have to do anything for God's gift. God, when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, what he did, he took his son and he said, here's my gift to you. Just receive it. And when you receive the gift that God has given to you, now Paul says, that's when you start to work. You don't work to get saved, but you work because you are saved. And if you're here this morning, I want to announce to you that you've got work to do. The first thing he says is work out. Work out. Now, he's not talking about go to the gym and lift weights. He's not talking about go to Frick Park and run around the trails. He's talking about work out spiritually. As a matter of fact, if you look in your notes today, look what it says under this block, work out. Paul admonishes the Philippians to work out their salvation, not work for it. The phrase work out carries with it the idea of working to full completion. Wow. Now look at this. It's used of several things, this word work out. First of all, it was used of a math problem where people would sit down and work out math. Now, I'd never been good at math. I remember when I was in college, we had to take a math course, and I went to find the lowest level math course that I could take. And they had a general math course. And basically all we did in there was 1 + 1 = 2. And we did a little multiplication and a little bit of fractions. But that was basically, that's all I could handle. I've never been good. Now my son, you know, he's a math genius. You know, as Richard Pryor said, he could book numbers and don't need a pencil or a paper. But that's another story. Now, he didn't book numbers. Now, I want to make that clear. But he got all mine. You know, he got all mine because I don't have any math skills at all. But what Paul was saying here, Paul's saying that if you could think of someone, unlike Pastor Glaze, who has math skills, and how that they could take that problem and they could sit down and they could surmise and subtract and add and multiply, divide, do this and do that, and spend 5 minutes working on it, and then come out with the solution. That's what he's saying about your salvation. He's saying, work it out to its full completion. That when you got saved, you know, when I got saved, you know, there was prayers that I prayed, and when I started preaching, there was sermons that I preached that I would never think about preaching now, that I would never think about prayers that I never think about praying now. Why? Because I'm working this thing out. I'm working out my salvation. And what does that mean? That means I'm growing. If you are the same today, oh, somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me this morning. That if you are the same today as you were last year, you're not working out your salvation. If you haven't memorized, oh, watch yourself now, preacher. If you haven't memorized at least one verse, new verse, since last year, you're not working out your salvation. If you haven't been a little bit more diligent about spending time with God in the word and prayer than you were last year, you're not working out your salvation. He said, work this thing out. He said, now that you're saved, now that you know the Lord, now that you've been sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, work this thing out. Just don't be the same. Somebody said that the Christian life is like a grease pole, that as long as you keep moving, you have the chance of making some progress to the top. But as soon as you stop on that grease pole, guess what's going to happen? You're going to slide down. And if you're not working out your salvation, I hate to say this, but you're actually going in the opposite direction. You're backsliding. Paul's admonition work it out. So he not only gives the example of a math problem, but this word work out, and I like this one right here, it was also used when people went into a mine to begin to mine the area for precious metals and precious silver and gold and things of that nature. It meant that they would go in and that they would search the mine, that they would work it out, that they would chip off the side, and that they would try to find the value in the mine. Paul, he said, there's a lot of valuable things down in you. You got the Spirit of God in you. You got the Word of God to help you. You got prayer. Paul said, there's a lot. He said, there's so much down inside of you. And in order for you to get the benefits, like that guy going into the mine and coming out with those gold nuggets and saying, look, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. You got to go in there and mine them out. You got to go in there and work it out. And when you work it out, oh, there's great wealth to be gained. You know, I heard somebody say that the elderly, and I can say this now because I'm moving in that realm, the realm of the elderly. They said that elderly people are worth a fortune. They've got silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs. Oh, they're wealthy. They're wealthy. And sometimes you got to go mine it out. You know, and you know, even though I'm being facetious when I say that, the spiritual analogy is that you've got all these riches inside of you, and they will never, ever come to light unless you go and mine them out. You got a great salvation. You know, just think about, and you know, if you could come and take Deacon Boston's theology class, and he can tell you about sanctification and glorification and justification and propitiation and Jesus being lifted up and all this other, these heavy theological doctrines, all these things that you have inside of you. You've been saved. You've been set free. You've been delivered from sin. You've been born again. You've been filled with the Spirit. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You have been justified in the sight of God. You got all these things inside of you. Paul said, go work them out. Wow. Go work them out. Just don't be some bozo who sits on the side of the road and let all the riches inside of you go to waste. He said, work them out. And not only did he say work them out, but he uses the word. He says work them out with fear and trembling. Look at the last paragraph of the first block where it says work out. Further, Paul told them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. The concept here is not that of being afraid or being terrorized or afraid. But the Phillips Bible translates this verse, complete the salvation that God has given you with a sense of awe and responsibility. Fear and trembling, awe and responsibility. I was listening to David Jeremiah, who did a series through the book of Philippians. He was commenting on this fear and trembling. He gave the example of this doctor, and he said that there was a doctor who performed surgeries every day. And he had performed this one procedure time after time after time after time and time again. As a matter of fact, the doctor said, I've performed this procedure so many times, he said that I could go in blindfold and do it. I know this procedure that well. He said, I know it, I know it, I know it. He said, but each time before I perform a procedure, he said, I go and I study, I research, I read it over again. He said, because I don't want to miss anything. He said, I want to make sure that each time I do it, I'm doing, because somebody's life is at stake here. Somebody's body is coming before me and I'm laying it open, and I want to make sure that every time I come to do a surgery, even though I've performed this surgery thousands and thousands of times and I could do it blindfold, each time, watch this now, each time I approach it with a sense of fear and awe. Ooh, that's how serious I take this responsibility. Paul's saying, do you take your faith that serious? Do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? That each day when you get up, you say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day to get it right. Lord, thank you for saving me. And Lord, I don't want to blow it today. Oh, somebody pray with me this morning. Somebody pray with me this morning. Lord, I don't want to blow it today. Lord, I don't want to do anything that's going to set back my salvation today. But I get up today, Lord, and I go through this day, and I'm going to work out my salvation with awe and respect. I'm going to work out my salvation knowing that I have an audience of one. If nobody else sees me, I know that there's one that sees me. And Lord, I'm going to work out my salvation before you. I'm going to do the things that you want me to do, and I'm going to do them with fear, and I'm going to do it with trembling. I'm going to do it with all respect, Lord, because I don't want to do anything that's going to displease you. I don't want to do anything that's going to turn your heart from me. I don't want to do anything that will upset you. I don't want to do anything that will cause you to look at me with a frown. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God, for the day of the casual Christian has to be over. The day when we take our faith lightly and we get up in the day and we go with no sense of awe and respect, we go out there and get consumed in the things of the world and we don't realize that there's a holy God that we're standing before all day long. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The first thing he says here is to work it out. The second thing that he lets us know, that we can work it out because there's a work going on within. Look what he says in verse 13. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Not only is there a work out, but there is a work in. And what Paul is saying here, that you've got to let God do his work. That there's a work that God, when he does his work on the inside, then we can work out what we need to work out on the outside. The theologians have this thing they call the divine operative. And the divine operative is the fact that God is working in us so that we can work out. So that we can work out our salvation. The divine operative. God works in us so that we can work out our salvation. I heard a beautiful illustration. There was a pastor. Listen to this. This is good. Oh, I love this right here. This is good. There was a pastor who went to visit a farmer one day. And this farmer had a beautiful farm. I mean, it was just beautiful. Barns painted, house painted. Cultivated, rose, and it was one of the most beautiful farms that you ever want to see. And the pastor said to the farmer, he said, John, he said, this is a beautiful farm that you and God have. And John said, the farmer said, well, I've been cultivating it for many years, and you should have seen it when God had it all by himself. I like that right there. I like that right there. You should have seen it when God had it all by himself. What was he saying? Yeah, God had a work to do. And God had a part to do. But you know what? It got like this. Because I was working this thing out. I was working out. I'm the one that went out here by the strength of God and drove the tractor. I'm the one that went out here and painted the houses. I'm the one that went out here and planted the seed. I'm the one that went out here and watered. I'm the one that did this through the power of God. Yeah, you should have seen what it looked like when God had it all by himself. And I'm here to tell you today, God does a work within so that we can do a work without. You got to work out, you got to work in, and then he says you got to work against. Well, let me go back, because I do want to say One more thing. I want to make this thing about working in. I want to make this plain. All right. Let me make this as plain as I can. Because some of y'all might have missed that. All right. This group over here on this side, they look pretty attentive. But this side over here, y'all might have missed it. So I'm going to say it for this side over here. God may be working in you to forgive somebody, but you got to work it out. God may be working in you to bless somebody, but you got to work it out. God might be working in you to stop some sinful behavior, but you got to work it out. God might be working in you to stop a bad habit, but you got to work it out. God might be working in you to season your speech, but you got to work it out. God might be working in you to give up an ungodly relationship that you involved in, but you got to work it out. God may be working in you to be sweeter and kinder in your home, but you got to work it out. You see, that's where the breakdown is sometimes. God is working in us, but we got to work it out. And so there's a work in, there's a work out, and then there's a work against. Look what he says in verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. A natural result in the believer of the working in and working out salvation that is a part of God's people, that he will work against the murmurings and disputing. Now, this word murmuring, and let me try to pronounce this word. Some of you who are English scholars have heard this word, but this word is what's called an onomatopoetic word. Hopefully I got that right. Onomatopoetic. Onomatopoeia. All right. Okay. All right. We got. Thanks for straightening me out. All right. Now, what it means is that the word sounds like the way it's spelled. All right. So when he says here, do all things without murmuring, that's the way that the word is spelled, but that's also the way it sounds. Now, we're going to do this. Everybody say murmur. Say again, murmur. Let's say it real fast 5 times. Murmur, 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 murmur. All right. So that's what that that's what that means. That whenever we're murmuring, it's just a low-level noise that we are saying because we're displeased about something. And if we as Christians realize that everything we have comes from the hand of God, and we are murmur, 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 and we are murmur, 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 murmur. We're not murmuring against people. We're murmuring against God. People might be the source that we see of our frustration, but if we realize that our lives are in God's hand, that God is not going to let anything happen to us that he don't want to happen. And so if we are murmuring, we are actually murmuring against what God has for our life. Somebody said there are 2 types of Christians. There are those that whine and those that shine. Which one are you? I was watching Good Morning America the other day, and there was a guy on there, and the reason that it caught my eye, my attention, is because the guy was a professor at CMU. I don't know if anybody saw that, but this guy, they found he has pancreatic cancer, and they found all kind of
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled The Road to the Resurrection. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, God is Working in You So You Can Work It Out, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God is Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God is Working in You So You Can Work It Out, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.